Morning. Before we get started, I want you to take out the bulletin insert that where you'll find a recap of what we talked about last week, the names of God the Father, and then a guide to what we're going to talk about today, the names of Jesus. All right? Let's begin with prayer, please. Father God, we come before you today seeking to know your Son, our Savior, better. Send your Spirit into our midst to open our eyes to truth and help us understand how we can be closer to Jesus by understanding who he says he is. Lord, we don't want to just pack our head with facts. We need biblical truth to move into our hearts and then show itself in our lives. Make us attentive to your word and to your Spirit. I pray that you will come alongside me and enable me as I share your word with these saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you don't know me, my name is Mary Hershey. I've been part of Grace Point for about 15 years now. And my passion is sharing the Word of God with the people of God, especially with people who don't know God. Last week, when I spoke with you, we talked about some of the names of God the Father. So if you have that bulletin insert, everybody does. Take it home, you can review those, and hopefully refresh your memory about what they mean. Remember that Proverbs 18:10 teaches us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run to it to be safe. And we talked about how do we run to God's strong tower. We do that in prayer, using the name of God that best fits our current circumstance, our struggle, what it is that we need. We also talked about how important names were in the culture of biblical days, because the name of a person communicated to us something about them. God's names serve that same purpose. His names tell us who he is and what he is like. The names of Jesus do the same thing. So we can come to know the Trinity better if we know and understand their names. The Spirit also has names in Scripture, not as many as Jesus or God, but he does have names that speak to what he does for us. He's often referred to in Scripture as the Holy Spirit. We've all heard this. He is named this because he is God, and God is holy. He's also called the Spirit of God. We find these names in both the Old and the New Testament. In fact, they occur, those two names, Holy Spirit and Spirit of God, over 90 times in just the New Testament alone. The name Holy Ghost is simply a different translation of the word Spirit. So it's really one and the same. Jesus himself gave the Spirit two of his names. We find them in John 16. In this chapter, Jesus is teaching his disciples for the last time before he will go to the cross. He's sharing with them what is going to come. And he says, John 16:7, "But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And then in verse 13 of the same chapter, Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So from John 16, we see that Jesus called the Spirit the Helper. Sometimes this is translated Comforter or Counselor. In verse 13, Jesus refers to him as the Spirit of truth and promises us that he will lead us into truth. The Holy Spirit has other names that we find in the epistles or the letters in the New Testament. He's called the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of glory, and the Spirit of adoption. So this name thing applies to all members of the Trinity. But let's talk about Jesus now. My purpose here today is to share with you some of the names of Jesus. Over the past 2,000 years since he died, more people on planet Earth have known the name of Jesus than any other name. Since his death, over 8 billion people, by one estimate, have claimed to be followers of Jesus. Presently, the name of Jesus can be found in over 6,000 languages, and more are added each year. Lots of scholars have counted the names and titles of Jesus in Scripture, and they found anywhere from 200 to over 700. My focus, however, has to be much narrower. Aren't you glad? Each name of Jesus recorded in Scripture is a window through which we see him more clearly. Seeing him more clearly leads to knowing him better. And knowing him better is critical as we try to reflect his character to the world. First, let's explore how he came to be known as Jesus. Look at your insert, and you'll see right on the top of it, there's a quote from Matthew 1:21. This quote comes from the story of the angel's visit to Joseph before Jesus was born. The angel instructed Joseph to name his baby Jesus. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. Many people have been named Jesus before and since the biblical Jesus. But I wonder if they know what the name means. This name Jesus comes from the Hebrew name Yeshua, which is the same name as Joshua. Joshua is made up of two parts. Yah, which is short for Yahweh, God, Yeshua, and Hosea, which means salvation. So when Mary and Joseph gave their little baby the name Jesus, it meant Yahweh is salvation. So when we use his name Jesus, we acknowledge two things. Number one, he is God. And number two, he is our Savior. Jesus then gave himself names. In the same way that God named himself, Jesus also named himself. I want to begin with the name that's crucial to understanding who he is. So would you open to the book of John? We're going to be in John today. We're going to start in chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. John 4, 24 and 25. This is part of the story of Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. Do you remember her? She has already confessed her sin to him. He said to her that he didn't condemn her, but he instructed her that she should not commit the sin of adultery anymore. And as they talked, she said this to Jesus, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." Jesus must have looked her straight in the eye and said to her, "I who speak to you am he." So what is Jesus saying in that conversation? "I'm the Messiah. I am the Messiah." He clearly declares this. We also learn in this passage that the Hebrew title, Messiah, is the same Greek title as Christ. So Messiah and Christ are exactly the same thing, just in two different languages. They both mean anointed one. So Jesus, in affirming that his name is Messiah, communicates to us that he is God's anointed one. He is the one appointed by God to carry out God's plans and purposes. Messiah is prophesied by name, Messiah, 39 times in the Old Testament. So the Jews were very, very familiar with this name, Messiah. However, they misunderstood what it meant. In Jesus' day, the Jews understood Messiah to mean an earthly king who was going to come roaring in on a charger, leading an army. He was going to drive the Romans out of Israel by force, and then he would establish an earthly kingdom in Israel. But they were wrong and disappointed. Jesus, in calling himself Messiah, tells us that his Father in heaven sent him for specific purposes. He was sent to preach the kingdom of God, to save people from their sins, and in the Father's timing, to establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now let's go on to the next name you're familiar with, I'm sure, the bread of life. This is John 6. So go to John 6, please, 32 through 35. John 6, 32 through 35. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." And then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." Jesus, the bread of life, means that he is our sustenance. He's our spiritual nourishment. All things are sustained by him. In this passage, Jesus refers to the manna that God sent to the Israelites from heaven. Every day, it was an essential provision from God. It kept them alive. In the same way, the bread of life, Jesus, is a gift to us. but he's something greater, much greater than manna. Jesus shared this name, bread of life, with his disciples just after he had miraculously fed thousands of people on a hillside above the Sea of Galilee. Just as he provided bread for physical nourishment to those people, he will nourish the souls of all who believe. Physical food is short-lived, but spiritual food leads to eternal life. Matthew 4:4 says this, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The Son of Man, Jesus, will give us this spiritual food because he is the bread of life." Another name Jesus gave himself is Light of the World. This is from John 8:12. "Then Jesus spoke again to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" It's very fitting that this statement was made by Jesus during the Festival of the Tabernacles, Feast of the Tabernacles, when there were large lamps burning throughout the temple and the temple courtyard. It was flooded with light. In Scripture, darkness is associated with sin and Satan, whereas light is associated with God and his holiness. Light reminded the Jews of how God had been with them in the wilderness in a pillar of fire at night. Why does Jesus have this light? Because he is radiating the light of the glory of God, the light that comes from God's holiness. As the light of the world, one of Jesus' purposes is to expose sin and the darkness that surrounds sin. As the light, he also provides direction, lighting the righteous path so that we can follow him. When we come to Christ, our salvation through him results in a new life. Our earthly life changes. A believer will never consistently walk in darkness. If you are a believer, you cannot live in darkness. We no longer remain in the realm of sin and Satan, because we have Jesus, who is our light and our salvation. Now turn to John 8:24-25. We're also going to look at verse 28. I want you to listen for Jesus to say, "I am he." John 8:24. "Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they were saying to him, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "What have I been saying to you from the beginning?" Verse 28. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know I am he. And I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me." Now, in this conversation, Jesus was talking to the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, the scribes. These were men who were very schooled in the law and the prophets. So when Jesus had the boldness to say to them, "I am he," they knew exactly who he claimed to be. He claimed to be God. This name, I am, comes from the Hebrew name of God that the Jews revered the most. It comes from the name Yahweh. And it's a name that God gave to describe himself to Moses. This is Exodus 3, 13 through 15. You don't have to go there. Just listen. Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And God said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God furthermore said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'The Lord your God, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, I am. And this is my memorial name to all generations.'" So from this passage, we know that God the Father said his name was Yahweh, or I am, and it was his name forever. Can you imagine how blasphemous this sounded to the Pharisees? That Jesus had the audacity to stand there and say his name was God. And their interpretation of what Jesus said was precisely correct. By naming himself, "I am," Jesus declared that he was God. Let's go on. Let's go to John chapter 10. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. This is the Good Shepherd chapter. We're going to look first at verses 7 and 9. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." In those days, every community had what they called a sheep fold. It was just a big pen. And at night, the shepherds would bring the flocks from the area. There might be 4, 5, 10 of them. Gather all these sheep into the fold for protection at night. A shepherd literally laid across the entrance into the fold, literally becoming the door to the sheep. We are the sheep. If we enter the fold, which is the kingdom of God, through Jesus, who is the door, we will, quote, be saved and go in and out and find pasture. Through this name, Jesus says to us that he is our opening to God, our way to God, the only way into the kingdom. Moving along in chapter 10, Jesus names himself the Good Shepherd. Let's look at verses 11 and 14. Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." In the Old Testament, God is called the Shepherd of the people. This is who Jesus is to us. The Good Shepherd has intimacy with his sheep. He's personally interested in his sheep. The phrase, "I know my sheep," stresses that he owns his sheep and he has a watchful, caring oversight over his sheep. "The sheep know me" stresses that the sheep, that's us, you and me, in turn have knowledge of Christ and intimacy with him. The sheep, in this example, knew the voice of their shepherd. And that's how the shepherds called out their flock each morning. They would speak. My grandpa used to say, "Come sheep, come sheep." And they knew his voice and would follow him. They didn't have brands. They didn't separate them in the fold. They called them out with their voice, and the sheep knew their voice. Now, verses 28 and 29 don't speak specifically to the good shepherd, but they're so assuring and affirming for us. We can't leave John chapter 10 and not mention them. Verse 28 and 29, the good shepherd says, "I give eternal life to them," speaking of the sheep, "and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." And then in 29, he goes on to say, "My Father, who has given the sheep to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch our sheep out of the Father's hand." Why is this so important? Because here's what it really, this is what it means. Your salvation is assured. Once you belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, you will always belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, because he says no one can snatch you out of his hands. Now let's go on and look at John 10, 36 and 37. At this point, Jesus now is talking to the Pharisees, and he calls himself the Son of God. Jesus says, "Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world," he's referring to himself there, "you are blaspheming because I said I'm the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me." When the angel Gabriel went to Mary before Jesus was born, he told her that her son would be the Son of God. Jesus confirms this in John 10. He is the only begotten of the Father. He is the Son of the Most High. As God's Son, he shares God's divine nature. He's God's only, we might say, for lack of a better word, natural Son. We also become children of God. But we must be adopted into the family. Jesus is the only true Son of God. The final name I'm going to share with you today is from John 14, 6. This is a verse I know you've heard many times. Jesus said to him, speaking to one of the disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." What does Jesus then want us to understand about him through this name, the way, the truth, and the life? He wants us to understand he is the only way to God. He's not only the way, he's also the path to truth and the only one who can give us eternal life in heaven. He's the map, the road, and the destination. And he has gone ahead of us to prepare for our coming. He's our forerunner. Many outside of Christianity claim that there are several ways, many ways to eternal life, many ways to the other side. Their claims are lies. Every one of them is a lie. This is the truth. Jesus Christ is the only way to God, the only one with God's truth, and the only one who died so we could have eternal life with him and the Father. Have you found your way yet? Are you on his path of truth? Do you know with certainty that your eternal destination is with Jesus and the Father? Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we treasure you. We love your name. Come close to each one of us here today and speak truth into his or her heart. You understand what we need to hear from you. We praise you, our Messiah and Christ. We praise you, the Son of God and the I Am. We're thankful for all you do for us because you are the bread of life and the light of the world. Bless your name, Good Shepherd. We thank you for being the door. Be with us and guide our way, our truth, and our life. We pray in your name. Amen.